making an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the five ways you can deal with mid-year cash flow problems. I'll tell you about a new bill in New Jersey that bans you from asking an applicant about their salary history. We'll tidy up your office a little bit with five office organization tips, and I'll discuss why you should create a unique tagline for your business. It's Thursday, September 5th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And I'll be taking care of business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 69 degrees at 12:05. Today, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies with a high of 78 and a low of 61 degrees. For tomorrow, we're going to have cloudy skies with occasional rain throughout the day, leftover remnants of Hurricane Dorian, and in the evening as well with a high of 70 and a low of 55. For Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 78 and a low of 56. And for Sunday, it's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 78 degrees and a low of 56 before cooler temperatures move in next week. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 437.65 to 26,793.12. The NASDAQ up 128.19 to 8105.07. S&P 500 is up 40.44 to 2978.31. Oil up $1.29 to $57.53 per barrel. Gold is down $34 to $1,526.40 an ounce. All right. Well, again, I want to welcome everybody to the program. Appreciate you stopping in and spending a little bit of your Thursday afternoon with me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of Taking Care of Business, and we'll get the program started as we do every week with our business quote of the week brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. I use a number of different sources for these quotes. Sometimes it could be a business leader. It could be a religious leader. It could be a celebrity. You never know what we're going to pick. But if I feel that it's something that is applicable to what I'm receiving via email, text messages with regards to the program and content and stories that people want me to talk about, then I'll bring it here. So today's quote, the business quote of the week, comes to us from Mark Twain, author Mark Twain. He said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from a safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, discover. That comes to us from Mark Twain. Now, as I do every week, I ask everybody to think about that quote and how it applies to them. Is there anything currently holding you back that... So is there anything that's currently holding you back, either in your business, in your personal life, and sometimes it's fear, which is okay, that is preventing you from taking that next step? And if you were to look 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, would you be filled with regret of the things you didn't do rather than the things that you did do? It's funny because I had a gentleman come over to the house the other night. He was talking to my son about a career. And I asked him, I said, in the last 5 years since you had this similar position, how has it changed you? And he told me very, succinctly what changes. And did he see that coming, 5 years ago when he entered the profession? And he said no. But if you think about either your business, your career, there's times when people will say, well, I was offered a promotion, but I didn't take it. And this came up in an email the other day where a person was weighing a very good promotion. What should they do? They had a boyfriend, but it meant that she would have to move to London for 2 years, and it was great for her career, but the tug was the boyfriend that she would be leaving behind. I don't really give out Ann Landers type advice, but I do will give business advice. And I asked, where do you want to be 10 years, 20 years down the road? If you see yourself with this gentleman, married, two kids, white picket fence and all that, then you should stay here. If you see yourself instead being the vice president in your company, maybe being CEO of your company or something like that, then this may be the move that you have to make in order to get there. And she goes, and then it was kind of funny. She goes, well, we've only been dating about 4 months. And I said, I'm not going to ask you for an answer, but let me know what you finally decide. And she did call me back a few days later and say that she had accepted the position. She was leaving for London, I think in about 2 months. Sometimes that's the chance you have to take. And you, and like Twain said, throwing off the bow line, sailing away from your safe harbor, explore, dream, discover. That's sometimes what needs to happen in order for you to go to the next level, either in your career, in your relationships, or anything in life. We can all live in our little comfort zone, do nothing, say nothing, you know, and exist. But if you want to live, sometimes you have to take the advice of Mark Twain. So once again, the business quote of the week is, 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, and discover. So hopefully you are the type of person that will throw off the bow lines and will take those risks, if you will, and see where the winds take you. But I think that it's something that everybody at some point in their life is faced with, and it just is going to determine whether or not you have the courage, you know, to make that step. And it's, trust me, I told this lady too, you know, it's not easy. It's something that you have to, you know, consider very carefully and, you know, make sure that it's something you're going to be careful with or comfortable with down the road. So there's a new law that was just passed in, I believe, July of this year that takes effect January 1st of 2020 that I don't think has gotten a lot of publicity, but one that I think could really put businesses in harm's way. Now, in the past, if you were interviewing somebody, you might ask them, or it may even be on your application form, what was your previous salary? It's very common to ask these questions because you want to know where do they fall within the salary range of the position that they're interviewing for. And, you know, is it somebody that you can afford, or is it somebody who would be getting, you know, a huge, you know, bump in pay? So you just kind of always wanted to know where do they fall within lines of your company. But New Jersey has now banned any type of salary history inquiry. And New Jersey's enacted legislation, which is known as Assembly Bill 1094, that prohibits employers from asking applicants about their salary history. This bill will take effect on January 1st of 2020. So you have about 4 months to prepare for this. If you're in the hiring profession, and this will not apply necessarily to recruiters, as far as I understand it. So if a recruiter were to ask a candidate, you know, what is your present salary, the candidate could tell them. And then if the recruiter shared that information with the company, they'd be fine. But if you're the company, you can't ask the question. So under Assembly Bill 1094, employers cannot ask about an applicant's salary history, require that an applicant's salary history satisfy certain maximum or minimum criteria, screen applicants based on prior wages, salary, or benefits, or rely on the applicant's prior salary to determine a salary amount for an applicant at any stage of the hiring process. If the employer conducts a background check, they should specify that salary history information should not be included in the results, and if received inadvertently, salary history should not be considered. There are a few exceptions to the law, including but not limited to, if an applicant voluntarily and without prompting discloses their salary history, the employer can verify their salary history and consider it in determining the applicant's future compensation. After an employer extends a job offer with an explanation of compensation to an applicant, the employer may verify an applicant's salary history after obtaining their written consent. When a federal law or regulation expressly requires the disclosure of verification of salary history for employment purposes or requires knowledge of salary history to determine an employee's compensation, applications for internal transfer or promotion are another way that would be accepted. Inquiries concerning an applicant's experience with incentive and commission plans, but not the earnings under those plans, when the applicant is applying for a role where the compensation includes an incentive or commission plan. And there are some compliance recommendations. New Jersey employers should review their hiring procedures and remove salary history questions from their application forms. Anyone involved with screening or interviewing applicants should also be trained on the law. If your human resources department isn't already a member of SHRM, the Society of Human Resources Managers, this is probably a good time to have at least one person sign up for that organization. They have daily newsletters that come out that will continue to educate people on this. It seems like I get more news about how I run my business in the state of New Jersey from other organizations than I do from the state of New Jersey. So I don't know what the penalties would be should you start talking to a candidate about their salary history or their wage history, but it's a good practice now to eliminate that question from your interview process. It's a good process or practice now. Eliminate that from any applications. Train your staff that they are not to ask for that information. Where I can see this becoming a problem is you get through the interview process. You like the candidate. You're ready to make them an offer. And I'm just going to throw out numbers. Let's say you offer somebody a position at $60,000. And they look at you like you've just slapped them in the face. And they say, well, I can't accept that. Well, why not? Because I was making $80,000 previously. That's the drawback, because you don't know. You're placing a value on them after the interview. You have a certain pay range, low, medium, and high, on your pay scale. How do you know what they're looking for? That's one thing that didn't come up in the article, and that was asking the candidate what they'd be looking for in a new position. I have to get more information on this law, on the Assembly Bill 1094, to see whether or not that's possible. Can you ask a person that question so that at least you understand, let's say if a candidate is looking for $90,000 and the max you're going to pay is $60,000, they may not be the right candidate. If you ask them to justify how they came to that number, maybe they can dig a little deeper and let you know. But I see this as being a problem at that 90% mark of the employment process as to whether or not you're going to make a good offer to a candidate and not insult them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for our first break. When we come back, I'm going to have five tips for improving your office organization. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me. And I had an interesting experience the other day with a business. They invited me in. They wanted to talk to me about how we could improve some of their processes, how we could improve their profitability. Were they selling the right products? They'd been in business for about 15 years, and they started to notice a sales slump. They're regular listeners to the program. We talked about a couple of weeks ago at the half-year point, where are you at in achieving your goals for the year? And they said that they were off, and they wanted to see how. So I walked in, and you know, when I walk into any business, I don't care if it's a doctor's office, a restaurant, anywhere, I'm looking around for different things. Is the showroom, the reception area neat and clean and tidy? Is the artwork faded? I go to one doctor and he has Monet, you know, prints of Monet paintings, and they're all faded because, you know, the sun has beat on them for 30 years. It's time to get some new artwork in that office. So as I was meeting with this individual, I could sense that they were busy, but I could also sense that they didn't take the time to just take care of everything else. Every desk was just full of clutter. A conference room had papers all over the table. The kitchen area, they should have just knocked it down because nobody was cleaning it. The reception area had old magazines that were not aligned straight. It just seemed as if nobody cared. So the next story is about five tips for improving office organization. And your office is where you and your employees spend most of your waking hours during the week. So it makes sense to make it as efficient and workable as possible. Now you can improve your office as well as your employees' workstations in the common areas with a few key office organization strategies. You can make your workspace neater, safer, and more presentable. First, you're going to need sufficient storage. Now, your desk may be your main work area, but that doesn't mean it has to hold everything. Having sufficient storage helps you to keep your desk uncluttered. You can mount shelves on the wall or get a standalone bookcase. Cabinets with shelves inside give you added storage while letting you keep a sleek appearance. Make sure you have enough file cabinets to keep important documents organized. Invest in movable carts with extra compartments so that employees can customize their space in a way that works best for them. Good storage options are an easy way to organize your office. And the office I was talking about at the beginning of the story, there was no organization. Plenty of file cabinets, but it seemed like every file was on somebody's desk. You also want to have good lighting. Now, if you stare at a screen most of the day, you need good lighting to stay energized. Fluorescent lighting may be part of the building, but you can soften or supplement its light. So use natural light when possible by opening blinds. Purchase desk lamps to focus light where you need it most. And if you have cabinets or shelves over your desk, consider lighting that you can mount underneath. This saves space on your desk while still giving you extra light. Good lighting can boost moods and relieve potential eye strain. You also want to do what's known as cord corralling. Now, if you go into most offices and you look under someone's desk, at all of the wires, if you look at this desk right here, at all of the wires, you could use a little cord corralling to get everything bundled up. Any office that has electronic equipment has multiple cords that go along with it. Label the cords near the plug with some kind of tape, tag, or clip. And this way, when you need to unplug something, you don't have to trace the cord all the way to its source. It's easy to avoid tangled cords if you secure them under the desk. This gets them off the floor and out of sight and also clears the space under the desk, which makes office cleaning easier. Getting cords off the floor also makes your work area safer, and organizing the cords to your equipment keeps them out of the way. Another thing that I like in many offices that I don't see enough of are either bulletin boards or whiteboards. Now, every desk needs a space to keep tasks and reminders. How many times have you taken a phone call from somebody, and I just did it before I came here, and about an hour later you forget what the call was about? If you had just a quick whiteboard and you could simply write down a message, or if you put a post-it note, put it on a cork board or something like that, that would be enough to keep it in front of you so that you get to it eventually. Otherwise, sometimes these things get lost for 2, 3, 4 days and your customer gets angry. So bulletin boards or whiteboards are good tools to help organize to-do lists. And while you may have events in your electronic calendar, a wall calendar with daily tasks may help keep them in the forefront of your mind. You can post staff announcements on a board in the break room so that everyone has access to the information. And employees can also use bulletin boards to personalize their workspaces with pictures or inspirational quotes. Seeing their own board through the day can be a great motivational tool, and the potential uses are endless. Another thing to consider would be a convertible desk. Now, these options to consider for your office in the convertible desk is a workspace that you can raise or lower to adjust to the optimal height, and it promotes good back health. Being able to convert it in a standing desk when you need to so it can help maintain energy. It's also a good option for employees who have injuries to help them maintain productivity without exacerbating the problem. If you have a convertible desk, make sure all cords have enough leeway or slack so you can raise your desk without straining or unplugging them. Using furniture with built-in flexibility makes the office more user-friendly. Office organization isn't difficult. It just takes a little planning and a few useful tools. By implementing organizational strategies, you can improve safety, efficiency, and maybe even morale. So if you use these tips that work best for your office to make your employees and yourself happier and more productive. You know, and again, going back to that example earlier in the story about the office that was a mess, when I gave him a few suggestions, I didn't say, clean this whole place up. It was, let's start with the reception area. And it was throw out, and as I was there, I took all the magazines and I threw them in a garbage can. I said, either this is a current subscription or it's gone. Have some information about your company, whether it be a catalog, a newsletter that you, even if you publish issue number one, copy number one, and that's the only copy. Write a newsletter about what your office is doing, what your business is doing, what your industry is doing. 3 or 4 pages, leave it on a coffee table, and let the visitor, peruse it at their leisure. But you don't have to put a 3-year-old copy of Newsweek out there. So I said, let's get the showroom or the reception area cleaned up first. We did everything. Cord corralling. We did empty the waste baskets. We threw out all those magazines. They promised they were going to get some new paintings on the wall and freshen up and change some of the light. There were a few light bulbs that were out, so they were going to change those as well. So hopefully when I go back, that will have taken place, and we'll see where we go from there. Then we started talking about the individual workstations, and the boss and the employees, there were about 10 employees in the office. They all said that they were willing to come in on a Saturday if I would help show them how to clean their office. So, and again, a neat organized workspace eliminates a lot of wasted time, either looking for files, looking for emails or memos or something like that. So hopefully we'll get them straightened out, and then we'll start working on other processes to get them rolling again. I want to talk about a tagline for your business. Now, a lot of people think that if you have the good name for your business and a good logo, that's enough. But sometimes it's a tagline, and you want it to be unique, that will help customers remember your business. And taglines are words that should complement a business's name and logo and can be a business asset if crafted correctly. Taglines should be short, crisp, and to the point. They should reflect the company's vision and convey the right message to prospects and companies as well as your business community at large. Think of the old tagline for Ford, quality is job one. We knew that they were putting an emphasis on quality back then. So start hammering out as many different taglines as possible. Choose the species of taglines that fits best with your company's or your product's personality and the goal of producing a memorable phrase. This is not something that you create one line and you say, that's it, we have it, we're done, No. Create 50 and see which one works best at selling your business or having people remember your business. Create taglines with a high recall value. For instance, Budweiser's This Bud's For You, you can be certain your tagline links the unique value proposition, or the UVP, to your specific company and not to any of your competitors. Also, try to weave the word you and your into the tagline. Shoot for a tagline of about 4 to 8 words and realize that 1 word or 2 word taglines may be too short to convey a message accurately. You also want to avoid the following when composing a tagline, using the word we or our. This hints at elevating the firm over the customer. Slogans that are vague or nonspecific. The right fit for small business doesn't state what the product is, how it's superior, or exactly why this company is the right fit. Jargon words and high concept slogans in favor of simplicity. Cliches and overused words such as solution, quality, value, and professional should also be avoided. And don't use distasteful humor. There are many issues in life that are not funny to every person. And once it's been drafted, honed, and tested, incorporate the new tagline into your logo design or place it somewhere highly visible, like near the top of each web page. Include in it all marketing materials to get the greatest branding impact. Years ago, I came up with a slogan after I realized that we weren't just a trophy store. People would ask, do you do this? Do you do that? And we kept saying yes and yes and yes. So I came up with the tagline, we're trophies and a whole lot more. And what people gravitated to was the word a whole lot more, because they were like, what more? Well, we do promotional products. We do varsity jackets. We do signs. So that was the more. And a lot of times that tagline will have people coming in with very bizarre requests. Can you do this? Can you do that? And if it's something I think we can do, we'll do it. But it's something that, you know, we have to make sure, you know, we have the skill set to create. So that's our tagline at Crown Trophy of Flemington. Now figure out what's a good tagline for you and use those tips that I just gave you, and hopefully you'll come up with something that people can remember. Everything in business, when we talk about always be promoting, is what will help people remember you. They have to know who you are, where you are, and what you do. It's what I call the three W's. And they have to have something that will keep bringing them back to you. If I'm looking for a car, I want a good car. Maybe I would think of a Ford, because quality is job one. And even though in the story it says stay away from words like quality, not if you're going to make it, you know, your number one focus. Do I want to buy a bad car? Do I want to buy an unreliable car? No, I want to buy a quality car. So that's the type of stories that that you want to be thinking about when you talk about taglines. Again, 4, 6, 8 words max, and make it something that people will remember. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 5 content marketing ideas that will create better lead generation. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After devastating the Bahama Islands and then brushing the east coast of Florida and Georgia, Hurricane Dorian, now a Category 2 storm, is bringing its impacts to South Carolina, pelting the coastal sections with rain and wind, and it could make landfall later today or tonight in North Carolina. Here's that state's Governor Roy Cooper.
Storm surges will be as high as 7 feet. Hundreds of thousands will lose power, and that has already begun. Winds will topple trees and power lines, and roads and buildings will be flooded.
Wall Street trading higher today. The Dow Jones average has been up more than 450 points at times after Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin announces that the U.S. and China have agreed to meet to again discuss trying to end a trade war. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I apologize for the delay in getting back to you. Had to respond to a quick text message and take care of some business. And that's what we do here at Huntington Chamber Radio, taking care of business all day long. All right. Let's talk about something that I'm getting a lot of questions on from business owners. And that is, when you hit the summer months, June, July, August. A lot of times you get into a cash flow crunch, and people will tell me that they actually have a fear of those months because they know that it's going to be hard to make payroll. They know it's going to be hard to pay rent, make, you know, pay bills, things like that. So they want to know, is there a strategy that can help them deal with the mid-year cash flow fears? About a year and a half ago, we had Mike Michalowicz on the show. He's the author of the book Profit First. And that's the first step I would tell you to take, would be follow that plan so that you're always putting away a certain amount of money. Set up an account that says summer account, not because you're going to the beach, but this is a reserve fund that you don't touch, and it can be a small percentage of all of your sales, but one that will have money at the ready should you need it in those summer months. So here are five ways to deal with mid-year cash flow fears. And if you can get a handle on your cash flow problems during the summer, you may save yourself some end-of-the-year financial issues. Now, it's mid-year, basically, and you're a small business owner about to run payroll. You give your accountant the green light to release funds, and then get an email back that reads, we don't have enough cash this month to cover salaries and expenses. Panic and sleepless nights ensue. And if this is the scenario or something like it sounds familiar to you, then the first thing to know is that you're not alone. Issues surrounding cash flow at any time of the year aren't only reserved for early stage startups and young entrepreneurs. On the contrary, long-standing corporations and business owners who've been around for decades also fall into cash flow traps from time to time. Ken, Mr. Biz Solutions Wentworth, a consulting CFO based in Columbus, Ohio, remembers a few years back sitting down for dinner on a Friday night when his business phone rang. The person didn't say their name. They only said, I don't think I can make payroll in 8 days, Wentworth remembers. What I heard was pure panic. And within a few minutes, Wentworth learned he was talking to the owner of a restaurant chain, a business that from the outside looked successful but had gotten itself overextended. Another time, a business owner of nearly 20 years called him up worried about cash flow. The issue, his client hadn't adjusted the company's margins in years, and pricing was all over the map. When you're a small business, say $2 million per year, problems don't seem as big and can get hidden, he says. But when you grow to a $5 million, $8 million business, those small problems from a while ago are multiplied into glaring issues that can really sneak up on you. Now, Wentworth says it's usually later in the year when he gets his most panicked cash flow-related calls. But if a business owner can look at their cash in the summer months, it will put them in a better spot in the long run. So here are five ways to get a handle on your cash flow right now. The first thing that I want you to do is run a sales report or run a receivables report and identify your late payers. Now, business owners can get confused when landing a slew of sales without seeing the cash immediately pour in. This is an accounts receivable issue. And when the timing of accounts receivable doesn't match accounts payable, the money you owe a vendor, and you end up short on cash, it can spell problems for everyone involved. Figure out who owes you money and then start dialing for dollars, Wentworth recommends. Someone owes you $10,000 and can only give you $5,000, take it. One way to get ahead of late payments is to have an ironclad contract with your customers that enforces fees for tardiness and rewards early or on-time payments. Consider providing early payment discounts, maybe 5 or 10%. It can really incentivize customers to pay on time, suggests Priyanka Prakash, a New York City-based business finance expert with Fundera, a company that offers small business loans. And send your invoices right away. Waiting even a day can hurt your cash flow. You want to pay on time. Apply the golden rule to your vendors and watch it pay off. When negotiating or renegotiating a contract, ask for early and prompt payment discounts, Prakash says. When you receive those discounts, stash the cash to help cover your expenses. If anything, paying on time will help you in the karma department. And also look hard at your expenses. Jared Weitz's heart dropped a few years ago when he found out one of his biggest customers was going out of business and couldn't make good on its last invoice. The damage was in the thousands of dollars. He was eventually paid about 45% of what he was owed, and the experience helped him look at his business from an entirely different perspective. We had to come up with the 55% difference, and it took us a while, but now we run more efficiently than we ever have because of a few tweaks, said Weitz, who's the founder and CEO of business loan provider United Capital Source Incorporated. When you grow to $5 million, $8 million in business, those small problems from a while ago are multiplied into glaring issues that can really sneak up on you. You know, if you're a $1 million business having trouble meeting payroll 1 week, imagine what happens when you're a $5 million business because you're going to have to hire more people, and all of a sudden that number is going to become even larger. The main tweak is to look at your expenses. He changed benefits providers and moved office locations from New York City to the city of Great Neck, New York, about 20 miles to the east. We looked at our heaviest expense and saw where we could trim, he says. Rent was a big one, and since our move, we were able to pay our employees more and are still seeing six-figure savings. You also want to clear out unused inventory. If you have inventory sitting in the back of your location, even old used inventory, you have an opportunity to make some cash, says Wentworth. So put on a clearance sale, he suggests. If you sell sweatshirts for $20 a piece, tell people that they're just $5 now and watch the cash come in. You want to save for a rainy day and pay your quarterly taxes. Weitz is careful about living off a fixed dollar amount. Even when his company is going gangbusters, he keeps his extra cash in a high-interest account and finds that it helps with taxes, which he pays quarterly. Try paying quarterly so that you aren't as shocked at the end of the year, he says. It's important to estimate what is coming in so that you aren't surprised. So those are the tips that will hopefully help you get a hold of your get control of your mid-year cash flow crunch, hoping that, you know, they help you and can help you not so much get out from under it, but at least manage it just a little bit better. Want to talk to you for a second about, because this is happening a lot with some of the clients that I deal with, and that is you've had a client forever, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden you notice that the orders aren't coming in as regular, or these people are just disappearing off the face of the map. So how does a business know if a customer account is in jeopardy? Now, if any of the six warning signals that I'm about to give you present themselves, that's an account that's going to be in jeopardy of being lost, and you should immediately schedule a business review. A business review is a formal face-to-face strategic planning meeting with all the key personnel from the customer and your company. The six warning signs are as follows: a real or perceived problem, and that could be revolving around quality, delivery, your people, etc. A recent change in the decision maker, a change in the sales rep, a proposed change in the customer's operation, a planned expansion or contraction, and complacency. The silent killer of this bunch is complacency. When you take your customers for granted, stop thanking them for their business or stop caring about their success, they will naturally gravitate towards others who will pay them more attention and solve their problems. When a customer fires you because of a nonchalant, you'll get it when it's ready delivery history, you may never have seen it coming. These warning signals are windows of opportunity to your competitors. If their trustworthiness, amiability, and convenient selling style are stronger than yours, you can almost predict what your customer will do. One or more of the warning signals could substantially weaken your customer's trust in you. So how many of you listening right now ever thank your customers? And I don't mean at the time of purchase, but actually go out of your way, write them an email, preferably a handwritten note, that thanks them for their business and tells them that you appreciate that they're investing in you, that they're supporting your staff and their families. Very few people in business do this. It is a lost art again. And it's one that I think a lot of businesses need to spend a little bit more time on. There is a lot of competition in every industry. If you're in retail, you have to look no further than Amazon. Your competition very often will sell the same product at a ridiculously reduced rate just to be moving product out the door. So don't think for a second that you don't have competition. Don't think for a second that because they've always done business with you, that they always will do business with you. Again, any change in personnel, a new sales rep, a new decision maker, a new buyer in the company, they already have a Rolodex of people that they do business with, and there's a good chance that they'll go to that Rolodex and buy from someone else. And that complacency. Don't let people think that you're just taking their money or anything else, because that's one reason why they'll leave. I'm in the process, and I'll let you know how this goes, but either today or tomorrow, a letter's going to go out to all of the football contacts in the territory that we have, not only thanking them if they've been using us, but encouraging them to use us in the future. And I wonder what that type of mailing and the subsequent follow-up mailings that I have scheduled will do for attracting new business back to our business. And, we're trying to get some of the old accounts back. We're trying to, get some new accounts. We're trying to retain the one we have. So I'll let you know how that goes. And one of the things that you can do to help yourself is to create and cultivate an amazing online reputation. Now, you know reviews are important, but how do you gather favorable reviews? When a consumer is using a search engine to look up local businesses for their products or services, online reviews are one of the first things they look for. This general perception of your brand by the public is referred to as your online reputation, and it is crucial in determining your local search rankings. Your online reputation is an ongoing project that requires proactive maintenance on your part. And while it can be overwhelming, here are a few tips that will help you create an amazing reputation. The first, obviously, is to get started. Cultivating a good online reputation may seem like a lot of work up front, but following a few of these simple techniques can help you get started. Now, after you've sold a product or completed a service for a customer, you have roughly 1 week or so to solicit feedback from them. There are multiple approaches to get someone to leave you some positive feedback. The first approach is to simply ask for a testimonial, and you can train your staff to do the same. There's also nothing wrong with utilizing a more traditional marketing technique and handing out print materials, such as flyers or business cards. If you would rather have a more technical approach, there's always email solicitation. And if you don't already, be sure to gather your customer's name, phone number, and email address. That way, after you've done business with a customer, you can send a follow-up email thanking them for their business and displaying the links to your website where you would like them to leave feedback. And you also will have to know where to send customers. So you now know how to ask for reviews, but how do you know where to send them to? Review sites have a major impact on customer decisions, so you want to send them where it will help your online reputation the most. The top major review platforms are Google My Business, Facebook, Yelp, and YP, the Yellow Pages. Online reviews are said to help to make up at least 10% of how Google and other search engines rank results, which makes Google My Business your number one place to send your customers to leave feedback. However, if your customers don't have a Gmail account, it is recommended you send them to Facebook, Yelp, or YP as backups. Customers will need to have accounts with the aforementioned platforms to leave their reviews. Always make sure they're tagging you with your online address. And then maintenance. Now, you may be wondering, now that I've solicited and received reviews, is my work done yet? Nope. Your online reputation is an ongoing project that requires maintenance and consistent monitoring. You're going to need to continue to solicit new reviews so that your online reputation stays fresh and competitive. If you only have reviews that were posted 6 months to a year ago, they don't hold as much credibility as a recent review. The goal of a steady stream of reviews is to continuously display how great your products or services are. You'll also want to take a proactive approach to managing your online reputation as well. With the positive always comes the negative reviews. Every once in a while, a negative review will surface. It happens. And you don't want to just ignore it. You want to take control of the situation to manage what people are saying about you. Always be sure to respond within 24 hours of the posting to offer a solution or to write a simple thank you. And don't be shy, and I mentioned this in a story a few weeks ago, about promoting your own successes on your page. We had one last week where customer ordered 100 tote bags. I told her that we were going to be closed over the weekend. She didn't get to the store Friday. She calls me from standing in front of my store at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon to say, you're closed for the weekend? I said, yeah, we told you that the other day. Oh, I really need those bags. We ran out. I was like, when are you open tomorrow? And she said that her farm stand opened at 7 in the morning. I said, all right, I'll meet you there. She goes, you're going to meet me there? It's 30 miles away from your house. Don't worry about it. You ordered for these materials. You paid for them. Least I can do is make sure you have them. And so we drove up there. Took a picture of the bags, promoted both her farm stand and, you know, our customer service that we did that on a Sunday morning of Labor Day weekend, and got a tremendous response from the people that subscribe to our pages. So if you do something good, exceptional customer service, put it out there. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we get together. Coming up on 8 years here at Huntington Chamber Radio. Always looking to make it better for you. So if there's anything that you want me to be talking about on the program, by all means, shoot me an email. I'll give you the email address at the end of the program so that I can do the research on that topic and then bring it back to the program for everybody to benefit from. Very excited for tomorrow night. I'll be starting my 36th year announcing Bridgewater Raritan High School football over at John Bazalone Memorial Field in Bridgewater. The Panthers will be taking on the Colonia Patriots. So looking forward to getting back in the big boy chair up in the press box and doing my usual game time announcing of Panther football. Looks like it should be a good season this year, and hopefully we can make the playoffs again. That was a lot of fun for the kids and for any supporter of the program. So again, 36 years. Every time I tell that to somebody, they're looking at me like, do you not have anything else to do on a Friday night? I enjoy it. Best seat in the house. I'm on the 50-yard line. I'm inside. And they bring me free food at halftime. So does it get any better than that? Nobody's bringing me free food here. What's going on with that? Why are we not getting any free food here? All right, let's talk again and wrap up the program. I have five content marketing ideas that can lead to better lead generation. We talk about content marketing a lot on the program, and that is basically, what are you marketing? What are you sending out to people? What is your content? But content marketing for lead generation can seem like a daunting task. It just doesn't have to be. As a marketer, you must have gone through customer experiences with your brand. An important aspect of that governs the decision of the customer while purchasing a product of your brand is trust. And how does that trust develop? It's simple. Your brand identity is responsible for building the trust of your customer. Now, how come a marketer develops a brand identity that's capable of building customer trust and in turn generate more leads? With the help of content, or rather a robust content marketing strategy. Content marketing is considered as a strategic approach towards building a market reputation. This takes the form of creating and producing relevant content and then sharing it with the target audience. And this helps build up trust in the brand. So I have six strategies you can implement in your content marketing process to increase conversion rates and drive more sales for your brand. The first, number one, create high quality content. Now, as a content marketer, you must be a professional writer, able to create content that can draw your customers' attention towards your brand. Before working on the methods and channels to showcase your content, you must ensure that your content contains the information that the customers are looking for. The most important thing which you need to consider is the target audience for whom you are creating the content. Make it specific for a particular group so that the audience feels valued. Audience-specific content makes them realize that your brand is intended to improve their experience and solve their problems. Lead generation can be geared up with a data-driven content strategy that focuses on attracting customers without actually having to ask them to subscribe for a product or a service. Another thing you want to consider is using an ebook in your arsenal. Now, when you are aware of the content matter, focus on the means of sharing your knowledge with the audience for whom you have created the content. There are many forms of content, But the one that is in trend right now and has proven records is an ebook, followed by the statement of PricewaterhouseCoopers in 2014 about the revenue generation in 2018. The 2020 U.S. is going to have 112 million ebook readers. And it's a clear representation of the fact that ebooks are the real marketing arsenal, which creates a significant impact on lead generation. How? An ebook is able to help potential leads with the solutions they require to solve their problems. It's a tool that you can use to show your intelligence to them. And most importantly, it can provide you with the email addresses of the leads while they opt to read your ebook. You also want to rule with incentives. When a lead is offered something in return of his opt-in action, there is more likely to convert into a customer after gaining a benefit from it. But what is that something? It must be an incentive that is capable of giving valuable knowledge to them, provided it must be unique. The reason is people would pay attention to the best of all the choices. It depends on the worth of incentive. How far is it going to generate leads? What kind of incentives should you provide? And there are many options available to you. For instance, you can make your customers avail your ebooks free of cost initially. Other options include video content, tools for blogging, recordings of a webinar, and make sure that it is relevant to the needs of the customer. Most informative and informative and interactive webinars. When it comes to hosting a webinar, it must be without any doubt, aligned with the needs of the people. It should be capable of offering information that is of considerable importance for them. And if you want customers out of a list of potential leads, your webinar must be top-notch. So consider the following if you're going to host a webinar. Select an eye-catchy topic for the webinar that clearly signifies your audience the purpose that it serves. The speaker of your webinar must be an expert in his work and have the talent to keep people stuck with the computer screen during the session. You can also record your webinar to analyze it in the future and can offer an incentive to the people when they register. And feedback from your audience can serve as a guide to improvements. You can consider their reviews on the elements of your webinar. And you can craft case studies to show real-life experiences. When people are in need of your services and they read a similar case being solved by them, they gain trust in your product that it is capable of solving their problems also. Case studies are shreds of evidence of your successful journey until present and an indication of future achievements. It is the most powerful strategy that can generate a considerable amount of leads for your brand. Case studies are a medium to tell stories about customers' experiences to your audience, and it can take various forms, like a description of how a product was worth launching, a detailed solution to a problem being solved by your product, or something else related to your brand. A couple final thoughts. Having discussed so far, it must be noted that every content marketing strategy is different in terms of approach. So all of these are effective methods to build a brand identity that is able to generate more leads for your business. But it depends on the type of business and the target audience who is going to benefit from that content, that which method is more appropriate and can earn more revenue. Different types of content can suit different segments of the audience. So focus on a particular segment and then lead by content in that market. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their division in the National. In NASCAR news, the teams raced last week at the track Too Tough to Tame, Darlington, and Joe Gibbs Racing driver Eric Jones won the race and punched his ticket into the playoffs. Only one race remains this weekend to qualify for the playoffs, and that is the Brickyard 400 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Sunday at 2 p.m. Four drivers will be fighting for the last two playoff positions, including Clint Bowyer, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Newman, and Jimmy Johnson. Johnson has never missed the playoffs since the chase format was developed. In NFL news, preseason workouts and training camp is over, and the first game of the NFL's 100th season takes place tonight, with the Packers playing the Bears. Game time is 8:20 p.m. The Jets play the Bills this Sunday, the Eagles take on the Redskins, and the Giants will take on the Ezekiel Elliott-less Cowboys. And so far, I am undefeated in my fantasy football league. In other NFL news, former 100 Central football standout Jason Kubinda, who went on to play at Penn State and was with the Oakland Raiders, was cut from the Raiders' 53-man roster last week, but has joined the Detroit Lions practice squad. I have a feeling we haven't heard the last of Jason Kubinda just yet. And in NCAA football, the season kicks off last weekend with Rutgers defeating UMass on Friday night 48-21 with an impressive offensive scheme. Penn State destroyed Idaho 79-7. This week, Rutgers plays number 20 Iowa, and Penn State takes on Buffalo. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better. And your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimganeau.com. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Hurricane Dorian is slamming the southeastern coast of the United States hard on Thursday. National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham tells Fox News where the storm goes from here.
Real close to the North Carolina coast and then out back into the Atlantic. The timing here looks 2 a.m. on Friday, so tomorrow morning off the North Carolina coast and then off the Outer Banks by tomorrow afternoon. So still got some time to deal with this today and tomorrow as well.
CNN held a town hall on Wednesday night discussing global warming for the 2020 presidential candidates. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has a $16 trillion global warming plan. He was asked how that's going to be funded.
We are giving the fossil fuel industry approximately $400 billion every single year in subsidies and tax breaks. Obviously, we end that. And we are paying for this over a 15-year period, by the way.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care, because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Vice President Mike Pence says the United States is looking forward to crafting a big trade deal with Great Britain after Brexit is resolved. Hosting Pence in London, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said it would be fantastic to deepen the economic ties with the United States. The nation's private payrolls grew a lot more last month than analysts expected. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The Thursday morning report from ADP and Moody's Analytics showing around 195,000 private sector jobs created last month. That's well above the 140,000 that many Wall Street analysts had predicted. It also goes against the notion that the nation's economy is moving towards a recession soon. The government's jobs report is released on Friday morning. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And former White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is releasing a memoir about her time at the White House under President Trump. The book is slated for publication in the fall of 2020. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillow, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
NTSB investigators have begun interviewing witnesses for a preliminary report on the deadly dive boat fire off the coast of Southern California on Monday. The captain and four crew members were the only survivors of the fire that killed 34 people. Ken Curtis is a dive boat owner. He joins Fox News and shares how he believes this fire may have started.
There was no explosion that they think started the whole thing. So now you might look at, is it something electrical? Could there have been some short in a generator? Could there have been some short somewhere else? We know that as divers, we're carrying cameras and stuff like that that have rechargeable batteries. Is there an issue with any of these?